You're listening to Knowing Faith, a podcast of Training the Church.
This is Kyle Worley, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jen Wilkin and JT English. What's up, y'all?
I'll tell you what's up.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yeah, turkey soup is what's up, guys.
Turkey soup?
Yeah.
But like, what's in it? Other than turkey.
Well, first you boil that carcass until it looks...
Oh. Not even...
Just in the pot? Just by itself?
You know what? Why do people react so negatively to the word carcass? That is a culinary term.
Boiled carcass. Isn't that... You can't cook a goat in its mother's milk, right?
Yeah, like you can cook a turkey in its own broth for a long time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I did, guys. I did. And it was delicious.
Okay, so you ate the turkey first. You guys cooked the turkey, you ate it. Mm-hmm. Then with its carcass, you boiled it.
Boiled it for about 8 hours. Yeah, yeah.
That's not a fire hazard?
No. No, I'm safety first. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, you guys know that we don't eat turkey because I gave me and my family salmonella poisoning years ago with a turkey that I am properly cleaned.
Right.
Evidently, these birds are so filthy, you should wear gloves when you're cleaning them, which I did not know, and I cross-contaminated the sweet potato casserole, forever ruining turkey for me and my household. I ended up in an ER with all the... other people that are in the ER on a Thanksgiving
night. I forgot about this story,
night.
Kyle. This is amazing.
I was so nauseated and in so much pain, they had to give me morphine.
Nothing like a little dollop of morphine on your pumpkin pie to make the holiday bright. Yeah.
I will tell you, though, I had never had anything stronger than Tylenol. When they gave me the morphine, when they put it in, they just shot it right into me. It felt like the sensation was somebody pushing me off a mountain. So I just, I grabbed the nurse and I screamed. I went, like that, like a crazy person. And the nurse just about lost her mind on me. Anyways, so I did not make a turkey soup this Thanksgiving because I did not make a turkey.
What do you guys eat now? What do you go to?
We did ribs and a tomahawk steak.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm talking about. Well done.
Wait,
Kyle.
JT,
well
did done. You guys have turkey?
No, we had guacamole. What?
Oh my gosh! Just like the first people.
That's right. Had some pico and some guacamole and some steak, shrimp, and chicken fajitas. It was amazing.
I love
making turkeys. I don't like eating turkeys. Like I've got a whole rant here. We don't have to do it now. People don't like turkey.
Save it for Easter when it's more appropriate. Yeah.
Do you do you eat turkey other than in turkey sandwiches any other day of the year?
I mean, I will. Yeah.
But do you? Like, will you say, you know what I should do today? I'm going to make a turkey.
Well, they're hard to find.
And of course you don't, because it's not good. Nobody wants to do it. Make
a
steak.
I'm not sure
done, Kyle.
But Calvin scored a free turkey, and so I'm going to have an extra one lying around, so I will definitely be having turkey at an odd time.
Wait a second. I know your son, and I know this one in particular, and the idea that Calvin scored a free turkey, just I got to tell you, does not check out for me.
Well, and you're like, what did he do?
Did he steal this turkey off the back of a truck?
That's the thing is, the story is not clear on the turkey's origins. Okay. But all I know is I got an extra turkey floating around out there, and I feel responsible.
Calvin's probably listening
to
this, so Calvin, well done. Mm-hmm. Make your mommy that turkey.
Yeah, just a shout out to Calvin and his free turkey quotes.
We're just calling it the Furky.
Yeah, okay.
We're gonna have Furky dinner.
Listen, I want you to circle back here when you find out the origin story, the source of this free turkey. Because I'm
speaking of God being merciful and gracious.
There's gonna be a story here. Well, today we are not in a post-Thanksgiving dinner coma. We are talking about the mercy and grace of God. So we're going to be looking at the truth. God is merciful and gracious. And subsequently, we're called to practice mercy and grace. So let's just, again, I know that this could start feeling redundant, but as we've said before, mother is the repetition of learning. I just want us to... Yeah. Repetition is the mother of learning.
Repetition is the mother of learning, and mother is the repetition of learning.
Yeah, mother is the repetition of learning. Repetition is the mother of learning. JT, who is this God that we're talking about? When we talk about attributes of God, who is it?
Yeah, we've given this definition several times, so but bear with us because we think it matters. God eternally exists as one essence or one God. There's just one God in the world. That's what the Bible makes really clear. In a world that's giving its affections and love to lots of different things, the Bible says there is one God. He's the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of all things. So God eternally exists as one God, but in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each of whom are fully God. And so when we talk about these attributes, whether they're communicable or incommunicable, we're saying that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, this one God, each share in commonality these distinct and shared attributes as incommunicable and communicable.
That's good. That's good. So with these attributes, what's the difference between an incommunicable and a communicable attribute, Jen?
An incommunicable attribute is something that can only be true about God, and a communicable attribute is something that is true about God and can become true of us. They're the attributes that we were designed to reflect when we were created in God's image.
That's right. And this season, we started off talking through that first question, who is God? And then we moved into what is God like, thinking through both incommunicable and then communicable attributes. And as we get now into the back half of this season, we've really been spending our time in the communicable attributes of God, today focusing in on mercy and grace. So let's begin here. What are mercy and grace, and are they different? What are mercy and grace, and are they different? You hear those words, it's almost like people, when they think about mercy, they think about grace, they might immediately be like, okay, we're talking about something that's extended towards those in need, so that's a commonality. Mm-hmm. We're talking about something that is good to receive, so that's a commonality. We're talking about something that we know that God is merciful, God is gracious, so that's a commonality. Okay, so those are some shared terrain. Are they different in their usage or in how the Bible uses them?
Yeah, I think they kind of get in our heads. We're kind of like, oh, they're like when God is being kind, you know, and we kind of just generally think of them that way. And I think even the way that we use them in conversation about like as a human attribute, we are often using them maybe in an imprecise way. We just sort of use them in a more general way. But I do think the Bible distinguishes between the two. And I think it distinguishes the definitions we've used before when we've talked about this, because especially like when we were going through the book of Romans and these terms were coming up with regularity, is we start by defining what justice is. And then we understand mercy and grace in relation to justice. And so just very simply and quickly, God's justice, as we've already talked about, is what we deserve when he gives us what we deserve. And so then by contrast, we think about mercy as not getting what we deserve. It is the withholding yeah. of what we did deserve. And then grace, by contrast to that, is getting what we do not deserve. So if you think about mm-hmm. grace, grace is abundance, right? Mercy is you didn't receive the penalty. And then justice mm-hmm. is you do receive a punishment that fits the crime. So that's kind of the way they're yeah. typically related to each other, so that we can understand them from the way that the Bible typically uses them. Would you guys agree with that? Yeah. Add something to that?
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I had a sense this afternoon when I was thinking through it, and I thought, is this right? And so I got up here a little bit early to where I was recording from to check my sources here. And the way Millard Erickson says this is what I was thinking. I don't know that I've ever referenced Millard Erickson on here, but we've referenced a lot of other theology. This volume, Christian Theology, this is the second edition. There's more editions now. Don't sleep on Millard Erickson. He's actually like really helpful. He's a contemporary systematic theologian, and I think this is actually pretty good. So if you're looking for something that's a one volume that's contemporary, I know we're always hitting like Bovink and Burkhoff and Calvin, which is great. You should go back and read those theologies, but this is really good. Okay, so listen to what he says here. God's mercy is his tenderhearted love and compassion for his people. It is his tenderness of heart toward the needy. And then this is the distinction he sees scripture making between grace and mercy. If grace contemplates humans as sinful, guilty, and condemned, mercy sees them as miserable and needy. So the focus for mercy in grace is just a little bit different. Grace is primarily addressing the, what you might say, the vertical dimension of sin, whereas mercy is kind of addressing the horizontal dimension of our need, of our limitedness. Certainly, you could, I think you could say this. One of y'all gut check me if I'm wrong here. I think that if sin was not a human problem, we as creatures would still be recipients of God's mercy, because it is an addressing of our limitedness, which is by design and not as a result of sin.
Well, I think, and JT, you're just sitting there saying nothing, so I'm wondering if you have something you're just waiting.
I'm wondering
to...
if he's about to,
you guys have left
ninja,
lots of rooms
to ninja
jump
us
in
from behind.
But so I think what I hear you talking about is what I would call compassion, which I think I would nuance a little differently than mercy. So, for example, Psalm 51:1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. So I think there's a legal sense, I guess, to put it one way, in which we can think about mercy. And then there is sort of a humanitarian is not the right way to say it, maybe, but like a, so there's a way we think about mercy as it relates to sin, and there's a way we think about mercy as it relates to just like suffering, general hardship. Is that maybe the distinction that needs to be made there?
Yeah, I think so, because certainly we are needy for mercy in that we cannot self-satisfy or self-exist. So it feels like mercy might meet the gaps of just our limitedness, right? Like part of the extension of God's mercy would be provision, right? Like God's provision is in one act a demonstration of his mercy, in that God does not exist in a way that requires anything outside of him to maintain or continue that existence, but we do. That's a creaturely need that we have. And God's provision is an addressing, a merciful addressing of that need. But there is also too the effects of sin, of which God is kind to mitigate through mercy, or soften through mercy, or comfort us in the midst of through mercy, right?
I want to hear what JT says.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything here to like disagree with like strongly. Like, I think we're all kind of like dancing around a very similar idea. So two thoughts that are running through my mind as you guys think about this and you read Eric's and Kyle. So like, maybe to help the listeners kind of think about this, I had a preacher, this is like one of the first sermons I ever heard as a Christian. He said something about God's actions towards us. And he said, it's kind of like a diamond, you know, that you know, I went shopping for Macy's engagement ring when I was a senior in college. And you go see the diamond and you're like, you see it in the drawer and you're like, I can't see it. Like it's not there. Like it's like, you know, 0.25 carats and it's on like this white backdrop. And then the jeweler pulls it out with a, like some tweezers, and puts it on a black backdrop. And you realize, oh, there are a lot of facets to this thing, but it's one diamond. There's a lot of ways when you turn the diamond, you can see different parts of its beauty. And we've talked about that on this podcast before, where like when we talk about justice, mercy, and grace, we're not talking about three unrelated things. We're talking about three interrelated things. Or maybe a simpler way to say it is like a Venn diagram. It's like, these definitions are meant to overlap. Like God's justice and God's grace, it preaches well, and it's partly true. You could say that at the cross, God's justice and God's grace collide. And it, you know, it's like, yeah, that's true. Like that's true, period. But it's also like God's justice and grace don't have to collide because they're never unrelated. Like it's not the two arms of God like coming together. And so I think when I think about what you guys are talking about related to justice, mercy, and grace is we're, in some sense, we're talking about them as dispositions. And in another sense, we're talking about them as actions.
That's good.
So what you just said, Kyle, related to mercy is God is dispositionally oriented to his creation before the fall as merciful. God is not never going to be dispositionally oriented to his creatures as merciful. Why? Because he is mercy. But I also think that that is an action. And so I think the question is, or maybe another way to say it is, he's also dispositionally oriented as just, but what is justice? He's also dispositionally oriented as gracious, but what is grace? And so I think the real question is, are his actions of justice, mercy, and grace distinct? Mm-hmm. Or are we just talking about a disposition that's different? Does that make sense? I think Kyle's muted.
I am muted.
Hang on, producer Brad. When we do our 10th season next season,
can we
about
leave that in?
About best of, it needs to be this because Kyle was really engaged.
I was like, wow, JT like totally shut him down. He is just dumbfounded.
No, I was saying something. I think I just said the most profound thing I ever said, but it's been lost to the.
Okay, but do you agree? So like, I wonder if even we need to think about a distinction between disposition and action. And now God's disposition and action are the same thing. I'm not trying to create a distinction mm-hmm. that doesn't exist in God, but a distinction in terms of how we're thinking and talking about him. The Bible says that he's dispositionally just, he's dispositionally merciful, and he's dispositionally gracious. Like that's his mm-hmm. posture towards us.
Yeah.
But those actions, he is therefore going to enact justice, enact mercy, and enact grace. And I want to make sure that if we're saying those things are different, that we're not positioning disposition against action.
Right.
So I think that's probably a way to talk about. Oh, I'm cutting you off, Kyle. Did you want to weigh in and I'll hold my thought?
No.
Kyle's on mute still.
When I give definitions for mercy and grace, mercy is seen the ones I gave earlier. He's withholding from acting, and grace would be mm-hmm. that he is acting. So like when Kyle talks about God's mm-hmm. mercy toward creation, I would actually call that common grace. That's how I would describe that. Because any mm-hmm. act of giving, I would categorize as gracious, and any act of sort of withholding what should have happened, I would probably call mercy. Again, referring to them sort of according to legal categories.
Right. So is healing then an act of grace or an act of mercy?
Oh, do you mean because it's restoring something to its previous state?
Yeah, because I think of, I understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. and I need to think more about that because that initially that sounds really helpful. I often think about mercy as mending on the collateral effects of sin in the world, but maybe that's not the right way to think about it. Like I think about, it's almost like the way I think about the difference between predestination and election or providence and election. I often think about, okay, you got providence pertaining to the overall governance of the world, election pertaining to the specifics as it pertains to salvation. I almost feel like mercy is a broader, more, it's a word more commonly associated with, again, either mending or providing in the face of limitations, whereas grace to me always seems aimed at forgiveness, at the problem of sin or the problem of wrongdoing.
You're talking about mercy in terms of like restoring something to the way that it should have been all along? Because I like that idea.
Yeah.
Because that would not represent abundance. That would be like, you know, restoring things back to parity.
Uh-huh.
I could get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to think too about like our own practice of mercy, like the way that we, because you know, with these attributes, right? We're talking about them as communicable attributes of God, and that we're talking about them that way because that is what they are. God is gracious, and we're not saying that any of us are as gracious as God is. That's not what we're saying when we talk about a communicable attribute. We are saying we are to be gracious, like God is gracious. You see this all over the gospel accounts. I mean, I think the clearest one is the parable of the unforgiving servant, right? One has been forgiven of everything and then can't turn around and go out and forgive a small debt. Mm-hmm. So with grace to me seems like when we think about someone who's gracious to other people, we think about somebody who is humble, who is maybe self-sacrificing, but primarily it seems like one who forgives, right? Would that be, what do you think about being gracious as God is gracious? What would that be for us to walk in?
Yeah, I think mercy would be like the relieving of a debt, right? So like all of the Old Testament laws about debts would be related to mercy. And then grace is things like Sabbath principles.
No, I agree with you, Jen. I think forgiveness is actually more closely related to mercy, reconciliation, forgiveness of debt. Grace, one of the definitions that I've heard of grace that has never left me is God doing for us that which we could never do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So mercy is like a debt relief, or it's reconciliation, or it's a wrongdoing that is no longer considered a wrongdoing. But then, as Jen points out, there's still justice that needs to be done. And grace is God enacting or completing or acting upon his justice in himself in a gracious way that is freely given to us.
Yeah.
So again, I don't think that, I think that action and disposition language isn't necessarily helpful in the long run, but for this conversation, to think about mercy as a disposition. He is merciful towards us. Why? Because if he wasn't, we would receive justice, mm-hmm. which would be the just penalty of our wrongdoing. But because he's merciful, he acts graciously towards us, which is to do what we could never do for ourselves, which is to suffer the penalty of justice, offering us mercy and grace, which is also just because he's giving us what he deserved in his obedience. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about these kind of abstractly, like let's pin this down at the place where justice, mercy, and grace meet at the cross. We can say God is just because he suffers the curse of sin by hanging on a tree in our place as the God-man. He's merciful because his disposition towards sinners is that if he did not do it, they would suffer an eternal penalty of sin separated from him. But in grace, what he does is in his act of obedience, he fulfills the law, and he also offers to us the righteousness that is received by Jesus in his act of obedience to the law, mm-hmm. given towards sinners as a substitute, so that we might be just, righteous, declared forgiven. And he gives it to us as grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
No, again, of course you guys agree with that sentence, but we're kind of like trying to thread a needle here by saying, so God is just. We could and should have been penalized because God is justice, but because he's dispositionally oriented towards us, he offers mercy. And because he offers mercy in his grace, he both acts justly and acts graciously.
How can Christians wholeheartedly pursue God without an undercurrent of guilt, fear, or anxiety? How can imperfect people experience God's peace while seeking to obey his perfect standards? Faith Chang writes to fellow Christian perfectionists in her new book, Peace Over Perfection. Discover the depths of God's patience, mercy, and righteousness, and find freedom to pursue him with peace. Listeners get 25% off at thegoodbook.com with code KNOWING. That's Peace Over Perfection by Faith Chang. You can find it at thegoodbook.com and get 25% off with the code KNOWING. Meet your new favorite study companion. Immerse yourself in both the Old and New Testaments with the Holman Handbooks, brought to you by the Christian Standard Bible. I've got to tell you, I love these handbooks. They contain charts, maps, word studies, and more for each book of the Bible. They are some of my most used resources whenever I'm studying a passage. They intersect beauty, goodness, and truth, and they're designed to last a lifetime as a valuable resource for Bible study, teaching, and ongoing discipleship. They're available in two different cover options for each. Buy one, get one free at lifeway.com with the promo code HandbookBogo. Again, that is HandbookBogo on lifeway.com in order to get some of these Holman handbooks, HandbookBogo, Handbook BOGO on lifeway.com for these Holman handbooks. They are fantastic resources.
So how does that shape the way that we practice? Is there a difference in the way that we practice mercy and grace then?
That's a good question.
Are those two different practices for a Christian? So if we're looking to imitate God, follow after Jesus, live a spirit-filled life, whatever we want to say, how do we practice mercy? How do we practice grace? And are those two things the same? Are they different? Are they slightly different? I mean, it seems clear to me that we're talking about like two notes in a chord. So in sure. some ways, it's wrong to treat them as like completely divisible because they're not, mm-hmm. right? They're you probably could talk about this as the, you know, love, mercy, and grace, or maybe justice, mercy, and grace. Mm-hmm. But whatever they are, mercy and grace are intimately related. I think that much is clear, even just as we've exercised this conversation in the short time we have so far. But I'm wondering if the practice of mercy, like even think about how we think about like, in, and this is real insider baseball and Christianese. We'll talk about mercy ministries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we talk about mercy ministries, we're often talking about ministries that meet tangible needs. Most of the time when that language gets used. So we're talking about a ministry that might provide food for those who don't have it, clothes for those who don't have it, water for those who don't have it, advocacy for those who can't advocate for themselves. We'll talk about those as mercy ministries. We usually will distinguish those from other ministries like church planting mm-hmm. or evangelism-driven ministry endeavors. They usually operate in a different category. So it seems like whether we should or we shouldn't, we are making some sort of distinction that mercy ministry is different than just gospel proclamation, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the relieving of suffering. It's what we were talking about earlier. In fact, I was thinking that in my head. But I think, too, you know, I do think that it would be rare that we would only demonstrate mercy and not also demonstrate grace, although there would be times. I mean, I think times where, you know, we extend forgiveness to someone and perhaps they never even, or maybe we forgive them in our hearts, but we never have an opportunity or it's not appropriate, you know, to do so in person. And so that would be an extension of mercy where there might not be grace attached to it. You know, but I don't think that in many cases you would see the two operating separately. In fact, I think in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about combining them when he talks about if someone asks you to go 1 mile, you know, go the extra mile. If someone, you know, it's the whole give him your coat if he asks for your tunic.
Right.
He's giving the idea that it's unbecoming for the believer to simply reestablish parity. It's to go above and beyond. It's to demonstrate abundance mm-hmm. to others because we have received abundance. And I think that's where you see that interplay of mercy and grace. Although there are times yeah. where all we do is give mercy or all we do is give grace. They're so closely, I don't think any of us would argue that they are not so closely related that they are most often seen in company with each other.
Yeah. No, that's right.
I agree with that. I also think it's important for us to, I don't want to overstate the case here. I'm not known to do that. is like, it's really important for those of us who have received this, let's call it like a braid of God's justice enacted at the cross, mm-hmm. the mercy that we've received by his disposition towards us in Christ, and the grace that we've received, that there's been another who did all of the obedient action on our behalf and gave it to us. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we're kind of saying. The gospel gets summed up in those three things at the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that of all people in the world who have a passion to live out justice, mercy, and grace, it should be mm-hmm. us. I don't want to overstate the case and say there are people who, because I know, ministering in post-Christian kind of secular Colorado, I have lots of friends who are not Christians. And some of them are super merciful mm-hmm. and gracious mm-hmm. in ways that are like, I don't understand why you're treating me this way. I sinned against you, or you should be frustrated about this, or why would you do that? Like that are kind of shocking to me. And I'm sure that there are people listening to this podcast who would say like, yeah, that's my mom, or that's my dad, or that's my son or daughter. Like they don't know Jesus. They don't know what true justice, true mercy, and true grace are, but yet they embody it. And I think that goes back to kind of your point, Jen, there of like the common grace mm-hmm. thing. Like in God's common grace, we all are image bearers who are able to embody some of God's activity and his attributes in communicable ways. So how much more so mm-hmm. should those mm-hmm. of us who've actually received it be embodiments yeah. of justice, mercy, and grace to people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, sure. we could split hairs and it, rightfully so on this podcast, like, well, what's mercy and what's justice? It's like, if you're asking that question, good, now go live it. Mm-hmm. Like go live mercy, mm-hmm. go walk with justice, mm-hmm. go offer grace yeah. to the person. And as I think Jen just helpfully pointed Jesus' words, go the extra mile, give the tunic, turn the other cheek. that the church of all people in this time shouldn't be the people who are kind of living in this culture of victimization, but rather living in a culture of grace and mercy and justice, going above and beyond a post-Christian secular neighbor who doesn't understand the true meaning of those things and who's trying to walk in them.
Yeah.
Well, and the communicable attributes, even more clearly than the incommunicable, are relational, right? We understand them to be true of God because we have had personal experience of them. Like we then do to others as has been done to us. You know, we act according to others the way that we have received that attribute from God. And so I think then you think about the relational element, and you can see how in a point in culture where everything is rugged individualism, how the liability for believers is more likely to be forgetting to look outside of ourselves and ask, to whom might I show mercy? To whom might I show grace? And to rather just sit and say, well, I've received mercy and grace, praise the Lord, right? But the only reason that we receive mercy and grace is, I shouldn't say the only reason, but a primary purpose is that we would love our neighbor as we love ourselves, as we have been loved in the Lord. And so I do think it's important for us to ask, what's my default setting? Do I spend all of my time saying, give us this day my daily bread and forgive me my debts? Or do I remember that it's, you know, forgive others of their debts as I have been forgiven? Bring daily bread to those who don't have it, even as I have received more than I need. And then you begin to think, oh, I'm now looking outward instead of just having God's good gifts terminate on me.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm sure we'll have a chance at the end of the season to kind of address this, Kyle. And if not, now's my chance. So I'm going for it. I've got the mic. You know, I think one of the things I've learned in this season, guys, is it's so easy for us who are maybe dispositionally oriented towards one communicable attribute over another. And I'm not saying the incommunicable ones. I think we made a good distinction. Like, we grasp for the incommunicable while we neglect the communicable. That's true. But then there are even those communicable attributes that some of us can gravitate towards, like God is true. So therefore, I'm just going to give you truth. And if I'm giving you truth, therefore I'm being loving, right? Like, people were like, oh, you can't be loving if you're not giving truth. Like, you, and I understand what we mean by that. But like, I think what I'm learning in this season, again, I've learned this before, but simply even in my own personal life in this season, is we don't get to pick attributes, even the communicable ones. We don't get to pick any of them. We're image bearers made to represent all of them, whether they're mercy, grace, justice, and we could go down the list. And I think even here, like, we're not picking between mercy and grace. No. We're saying, yes, this is who we're supposed to be. Yes, you're supposed to be just. You're supposed to be merciful. You're supposed to be loving. Supposed to be holy. Supposed to be kind. Supposed to be trustworthy. And I think we're living in a day. I say we're living in a day. We're not living in a unique day. We've always been living in a day where humans have tried to justify whether they are kind of gravitating towards incommunicable attributes or communicable ones. But if they're just gravitating towards communicable ones, they kind of want to pick and choose as a buffet. And I think when we kind of are saying, this is a Venn diagram, justice, mercy, grace, and we're saying yes to all of them, that's who Jesus is. That's exactly the image that we're trying to represent, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
He did it again.
He did it again. This is amazing.
I'm coughing over here.
Kyle, you are a pro. You are a pro.
I'm doing this.
Everybody has an off game.
I'm doing this for the laugh.
Everybody has an off game. And Kyle just said two sentences.
Kyle mutes his mic twice. Yes and amen to what JT said. And I was over here.
Are you on mute too? Are you muting us while we're talking?
Is Kyle being muted mercy or grace or justice?
Well,
I think it's justice.
I think it's justice for sure.
Or karma. I don't even believe in that stuff. But
I'll be candid with you, and we'll close out the episode this way. JT has said the poignant thing. I'll say the silly thing. Have I ever told you the story about? No, I don't think I have. So I did youth ministry for a few years after college. I call them my wilderness wanderings. And
Kyle, I need to pause you here. Just caveat, because you deserve this. What do you call youth ministry?
Do not say.
You have to do it. I'm going to say it.
I'm not going to
say
that.
You
should
say
not either.
This
is, that is going to get me in trouble.
No. This is your punishment.
Please. No, don't say that.
No, I'm not saying that. Please. Thank you, Jim. Okay, another time. Season 10. But so I did Youth Ministry for a few years.
If you guys all start trolling Kyle on social media, we'll find a way to make this happen.
JT,
you guys make it happen.
Please, somebody mute JT.
Don't do that. Right, I wish I actually can now, but so I did youth ministry for a few years, and I was in like a group of youth ministers that would meet up and brainstorm ideas about student ministry, and this guy who had been in the game for like 15 years at the time was like, listen, boys, let me tell you something. Don't make the mistake I made, and he starts telling this story about how he's preaching about from the Micah passage, you know, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And he's like, so he wanted to illustrate mercy. So, you know, the game that guys will play, I don't know, maybe girls play it too, where they'll grab each other's hands. Have you ever played Mercy?
Oh, yeah,
JT,
yeah.
I know you've done this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Jen, you've done this?
Or uncle, yeah.
You're out there just, mm-hmm. yes, crushing yeah. your kid's mm-hmm. hands.
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy says, okay, you know, this one time, it was Wednesday night, I was looking to really amp it up, and so I invited one of the local high school football studs to come up on the stage, and I was going to demonstrate mercy, but I was going to do it doing the game, mercy. So I grab this guy's hands, and, you know, I'm like, all right, we're going to play mercy right here, and when one of us shouts out mercy, the other one has to let go. And he said, this guy, this giant offensive lineman, grabbed his hands and immediately turned and broke both his wrists. Broke both his wrists immediately. Immediately. And he just said, and we were just laughing. We were like, what did you do? He said, I finished my sermon that night. So he preached with broken wrists.
He's like holding
he said
his
he was
arms
so embarrassed. And he's holding his hands like this, and his wrists are just
swelling.
Limp. Hey, if so you're out there, if you're listening to this, brother.
I'm not going to make you say it, Kyle, but what you did say is validated by that story.
Yeah, it really is. That'll be a quote for a different time, different episode. Mercy and grace. God is merciful and gracious, but high school offensive linemen, maybe not so much. You can find Knowing Faith on Instagram. Just, yes. You can find Knowing Faith on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Leave us a review. Our sister podcasts have wrapped up their seasons. If you missed out on them, you should go back and listen to the episodes. There were some great episodes over at the Family Discipleship Podcast with Adam Griffin, Chelsea Griffin, and Cassie Bryant, or the brand new show Confronting Christianity, co-hosted by me and Rebecca McLaughlin. We had a great time this season. We have two new podcasts launching in 2023, and we will tell you about them in the episodes ahead. In our next episode, we'll be chatting about faithfulness and patience. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. Grace and peace.